Fourth and 10. Here it is. Green back. Green. Plenty of time. Waits. Breaks contained. Throws a pass down the field. It's intercepted. And that's your ball game. Pulling that ball in front of the receiver was Kyle Lewis.
Let's go.
What a comeback.
What a comeback with a backyard brawl over West Virginia Saturday at Acrisure Stadium. And Pitt Hall of Fame voice of the Panthers, Bill Hillgrove, joins us via our video. Nice to be able to see Bill on our stream at kdkradio.com. Bill, what a weekend. What a whirlwind for you, partner. It started last Friday night with the Hall of Fame again. Congratulations. And paid off big time on Saturday.
Yeah, it ended up very well. And you and I and Pat Bostic and Doran Dickerson talked about it. You know, let's get through September 3-1, and we'll be in pretty good shape. Well, guess what? They have a chance to go 4-0, but what a weekend it was. I was worried about becoming emotional during that Hall of Fame ceremony on Friday, especially when they played the video, a tribute to Mr. Groot and myself, that I had re-watched it yesterday with my daughter, and we both had tears running down our cheeks. We avoided that on Friday night. Becoming emotional at public functions is something that can be selfish, and I was glad that I wasn't selfish. So all in all, what a weekend, and it was capped by that big Pitt win.
Well, again, salute to you, and it was nice to see the family of Dick Groot, his daughters there, and how much love there was in that room for both of you. And then that said, you had the other Hall of Fame inductees there on Saturday. We expected this to be, you know, a back-and-forth game. And this Pitt team is resilient, if nothing else.
And, I think that's a good word. Courageous might apply. Undaunted may apply. And Larry, some fans can be the cup is half empty. And I saw a post on the internet that said, well, if you had the other quarterback, you wouldn't get into these situations. And I laughed. I mean, that's the way some people look at life. But, it does show that, it's never over until that gun sounds. Of course, I don't even think they shoot a gun at the end of the game anymore. Whatever sounds at the end of the game, I guess a referee's whistle. But in that crowd of 66,000 plus, hard to hear a whistle in those emotions. But it was near the top in all the ones I've watched. And not only what Pitt West Virginia games, but of all the Pitt games I've been privileged to do, it doesn't get a whole lot better than what happened on Saturday.
And by the way, fans, if you look up on Pitt social media, they did a GoPro of you and Pat Bostic, and they did a split screen of you calling plays, which is kind of cool. I know they've done this a couple of times before, like at the ACC championship game and others, but this time you can see the play while you're calling it and how excited Pat Bostic gets. I highly recommend you do that. That said, ACC Players of the Week for the third straight week in his third collegiate start, quarterback Eli Holstein is the Rookie of the Week, and this week also Quarterback of the Week in the conference. And linebacker Kyle Lewis, who had the game-ending pick, and then defensive back Donovan McMillan, who had a ton of tackles. The accolades now are building for Eli Holstein, the transfer from Alabama, redshirt freshman. Bill, you've seen 30 years of Steelers football as the color or the play-by-play analyst, and who does he remind you of?
Well, a couple of times as he shook off tacklers, Pat called it. He said that was very Ben-like. Now, he's not as big as Ben Roethlisberger, but in terms of the way he approaches the football game, he's a football player, not just a quarterback. And I think that means a lot. All he has to do, and I know, this is all new to him. At Cincinnati, the first time he ever played college football in front of a hostile crowd. Saturday, first time ever in the backyard brawl. Those emotions can kind of stymie you. And I think they did early on where he was, especially in Cincinnati, very hesitant. He was thinking too much. He was trying to make the play instead of a play. And certainly in those last two drives on Saturday, he just made all good decisions. Running the ball, throwing the ball, and then, of course, celebrating at the end, as a leader should. You know, I hate to speculate on his future, but, you know, NIL looms large, and also maybe after next year the NFL draft may come calling. But we're glad we have him now, and at least for another year, the guy is as special as it gets.
And back to its homecoming this week, Youngstown State had a shocking upset when Duquesne beat them last week. They're coming in here kind of licking their wounds, but they've given Pat Narduzzi's teams now coaches 2-0 against them, but both of those games, one went to multiple overtime, so you can never take an FCS team too lightly.
Nope, and let's go back to, 2012, Paul Christ's first game?
Right.
Youngstown State actually won the game. Yeah, you can't have a letdown, and maybe there'll be one, but you still have to recover and let your talent take over. And I think Pat has done a great job with this group of people. You know, I saw it in the preseason and at training camp. There was a resolve with this group. You know, they're really bound and determined to prove that last year was a fluke. It was an aberration. And already they have as many wins as they did the whole season. So, you know, this team shows some promise.
Well, they go into the weekend 3-0, and if they're able to pull this off, a third of the regular season will be over. They'll be undefeated with a bye week and then start ACC conference play in North Carolina after that. Before you go, Bill, you watch the Steelers now like we do, which is fun. They're 2-0 with two road wins coming home to Acrisure. What's kind of your feel of this team this year?
Well, they're doing what they have to do to win. And again, some of the Steelers fans for whom the cup is half empty are saying, well, this offense of Arthur Smith's is starting to look like Matt Canada. And to them, I say, well, first of all, it's so tough to win on the road in the National Football League. And then we saw where a team that the Steelers beat in Atlanta in the opener rise up and smack down one of the contenders for the Super Bowl. And it's hard to win in that league, period, let alone on the road. But, you know, I think the playbook is a little thin for Justin Fields. I think if Russell Wilson ever gets the chance, I think it'll open up a bit, but, you know, that's just my view of things. I think they've done what it takes to win, and that defense certainly has controlled both those games.
Fun to watch, and Bill, we'll see you at homecoming this weekend at Acrisure. Pitt, Youngstown State, Hall of Famer Bill Hillgrove. How's that sound, partner?
Thank you. H2P.
You got it. We'll get more from Pittsburgh Magazine's food editors coming up next on the Big K Morning Show. This is the Big K Morning Show, and I always look forward to our conversation with Pittsburgh Magazine's food editor, Christy Graver, and she is on our video mix, which you can see. I love this now. More and more of our guests are able to be seen and heard on the radio. You can go to kdkradio.com, check out our stream. Christy, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. This first story I thought was somebody making this up. A Ferris wheel on the Roberto Clemente Bridge. What is going on?
Why not? Because we don't have enough traffic. No. Well, I was always kind of bummed when Kennywood got rid of the Ferris wheel or the Wonder Wheel, whatever it was called years ago. But so for the first time in Pittsburgh's history, they're putting the 60-foot Ferris wheel on the Roberto Clemente Bridge, and it's all part of an 11-day Oktoberfest Pittsburgh celebration, and it runs from October 3rd to the 13th. So the Ferris wheel will be the centerpiece of this all-ages carnival, and it will feature food and vendors and games and activities, and there will be a big beer garden in Market Square. And Market Square will also be transformed into a Bavarian village with be hosting games like stein holding and keg lifting races and barrel rolling and all that other German activities. So it should be a lot of fun.
I think, now obviously it's temporary, but I know Lucas Pyatt and his family, that esplanade we've heard about they're going to do along the Ohio River on the other side of the casino.
Yeah.
Part of the plan is to have a permanent big wheel along the river there. And for those that don't know, the Ferris wheel was invented in Pittsburgh by Mr. Ferris.
Yes. another Pittsburgh original, you know. We've got lots.
I invite you to tune in tomorrow. Speaking of Oktoberfest, we have a resident who is Pat Septek, our news editor, who is, well, he bought new lederhosen last year for his, and he's coming in tomorrow with his accordion, and we're going to have a in-studio tailgate for Steelers home opener. All right. Kelly-O. I just saw Kelly-O. Kelly-O's Diner is branching out. And for those that don't know, Kelly-O was known nationally, right? She was on one of those big shows.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And she was on several times. And actually, she's been to like Guy's house and like
Guy Fieri.
Her daughter told me. Yeah, she her daughter told me that she drove MC Hammer back to his hotel after eating at Guy's house. I don't know, which is like the coolest thing ever. I don't know. Like, but Kelly-O is really awesome. She's been around for a very long time. 2001, I believe, she opened up her first diner in the North Hills. I was just there last week. But now she's branching out into the bar business. She's going to be opening Ozone Bar and Grill, and it's going to be in Warrendale, and it's going to be right next to one of her namesake diners. So it'll be an upscale sports bar with lots of appetizers and shareable plates and like Pittsburgh staples. She's really known for the Halouski at Kelly-O's. So really good comfort food and stuff like that. And also this year, they're doing a Rocktoberfest on October 5th at the Warrendale location. And there'll be live music, raffles, door prizes. And it's a fundraiser for a an employee who has suffered some medical problems. So they're raising money for her. So really good person, really good Pittsburgher. So
she is. Kelly-O is special and good for her. Yeah. All right. What is the Remnant City Rug Bug?
The Rug Bug has been around since 1970, and you could see it, and it's always parked outside of the flooring store on Route 51. And I've been obsessed with this thing for years. My dad had a Volkswagen Beetle. He still has one. So I've always loved the Rug Bug. They decorate it with carpeting, and it's been like a ladybug. It's been decked out in bicentennial red, white, and blue. Right now it's a bird. They're actually doing a new one. They'll have a new one parked soon, but the Rug Bug is just like a Pittsburgh thing, and this is an original, and I just love it.
Yeah.
Also in Pittsburgh history today.
Yes, what happened?
My dad and my uncle were born in 1948, so.
Oh, well, happy birthdays. You know, we have the Big K Morning Show birthdays early in the show, so next year we'll have to include them.
Yes.
All right. Twins. You got a lot going on. Christy, we'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Bye-bye.
Have a great weekend. Christy Graber, read all about it, PittsburghMagazine.com. This is the Big K Morning Show. Cannabis. People that support this prefer to say cannabis because some feel that marijuana has a negative connotation because for so many years, including now, recreational use in the state of Pennsylvania is not permitted. Tamira Rush, you had the story of this bipartisan bill, 846, in Harrisburg that's trying to change that. Good morning.
Hi, House Bill 2500.
2500.
Yes, House Bill 2500, sponsored by Republican Representative Aaron Colfer.
And?
And basically, all the neighboring states are doing it, so Pennsylvania.
Ohio, New York. New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Maryland.
So why can't
the entire country of Canada?
Yes.
So it's a little wink in a way, because with the medical marijuana in place, if you walk downtown or in a lot of public places, let's be honest, you smell that familiar.
In the air.
Yeah, you just do.
It's everywhere.
Sometimes in traffic, you're just in your car,
right,
at a light or something. So people are utilizing it, which, by the way, they shouldn't be in their car doing it. But okay, this. How much, and talking to the people that you talked with, how much push do you think this bill really has to finally get it over the top?
I think it's in position to move through. I mean, you have people who are pro you know, people have put themselves in position to want, you know, to be a part of whatever is happening, right? So you have all these neighboring states that are doing it. So why can't we? You have people who are ordering all kinds of things online. You have people that are in, you know, use gummies for medical purposes. You know, so there are things in place that a lot of people out here now are saying, hey, let's just move this forward. So they basically are saying there are ways to, the money that they have coming in could fund local police departments. That would be a great thing, right? Programs that are out there to help people when they are in certain situations. So the monies that they are saying that they will receive from legalizing this could basically go towards programs that are beneficial.
It seems like they've done that in part to try to say, hey, just like they did with the Pennsylvania lottery, which has been in decades now, but they said at one point, gambling of any sort will never be legal in Pennsylvania.
Right.
And it started with the lottery,
right,
which the state operated. And then to kind of get it through, they said, hey, we're going to use the funding to help senior citizens.
But it also is beneficial to people who had charges and were charged with marijuana
now,
possession.
That's a really important point, Tamara, because there have been so many people who've had their lives in many ways ruined because of, you know, let's just say in their younger days, not that a lot of adults use it
correct
now, illegally, but it's out there and it always has been out there. But you get this charge, and then when you apply for a job, if you're being honest, if they background search and check you,
correct,
this shows up, that eliminates you from a lot of opportunities.
Absolutely. I think it's a great opportunity for people to get back on track so you can apply for resentencing. And, I mean, it moves the ball down. It puts people in position in place that they can say, hey, I've done something in my life, but just give me
just
a second
one
chance.
One thing is holding me up.
Absolutely.
From advancement. They want their record expunged is the word, yeah. And then
you know that way. Expunged.
It's legally.
It's a great word.
Hey, I got expunged. Meanwhile, John Fetterman, when he was lieutenant governor, traveled to all 67 counties in the state. And he said that every one of the counties voted, while some people were still against it, the majority of people were like, okay. At the federal level, though, it's still a class one, which is they're trying to change that too.
Right.
It makes it difficult. But now we have almost half the states
that are aligned.
Right.
So why can't Pennsylvanians? So
and it'll be interesting to see if this bill, 2,500.
25 hospitals.
846 was
older bill
about having, you know, they basically decriminalized it in many places, including here in the city of Pittsburgh.
Yes, that's why the representative's bill is more popular, because people are on board with this. So as the ball turns, we will see where things stand at this particular time. But listening and reading and hearing, this is something that people are looking at like, hey, you know, why is Pennsylvania always lagging behind?
Well, Josh Shapiro, our governor, said at some point, I mean, he'll support a bipartisan bill. So this may actually happen.
It's in the works.
And the next question is going to be, whose umbrella will this be under to control it in the state?
Well, yeah, they were basically, I'm reading, they said they had it so that you have an organization that will allocate the monies to several programs. And one of those programs that I believe would be beneficial to something like this happening is our local police departments. The money, the funding that they get, local police departments would benefit from some of that money that's allocated from this taking place.
And presumably they would also benefit from now they could, you know, from, you know, they used to chase down people with pot, mm-hmm, marijuana, or cannabis. And now they wouldn't have to have that concern.
Yes, it basically says the bill would place a tax on cannabis products, which would fund several different agencies, including prevention, addiction prevention, recovery, treatment services, and local law enforcement.
But there is a theory that they might use the Liquor Control Board already in place to put it under their umbrella, which is a little bit controversial in and of itself. Now, we'll see if this gets real traction.
I think so.
Tamara, thank you.
You're welcome.
Tamara Rush, reporting on the Big K Morning Show. We're going to talk to the executive director of Light of Life Rescue Mission and ask about this housing story that you may have heard about. So Sarah Inamorato, our Allegheny County executive, said early in the summer, actually it was back in June, that she wanted in 500 days to find 500 affordable housing places. So we'll have an update on what that is today, 100 days in, and what we anticipate. And I'll tell you, Jarrell Gilliam, who is the executive director, really knows this world, knows this space. They deal with people every day. There's, you know, homelessness for many people misrepresented, and there are people dealing with addiction issues. There are people dealing with mental health issues, but it's not all that. You can't put everybody into the same bucket. And bottom line is, you've seen the tents around town. It's been well documented by Marty Griffin and the Get Marty team with Patrick O'Connor around the region. We've seen videos from other people. I don't remember a time living here, you know, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, we've ever had this issue to this level. Now, that said, we're no different than any other city. In fact, many other cities have it far worse, especially south in Florida and in California, Oregon, and Washington State. But still, something needs to be done, needs to be addressed. So is this working so far, I guess is the question. And we'll check in with Light of Life Rescue Mission, who deals with this on a daily basis.